After this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a multitude followed him, because they saw the signs which he did on those who were diseased. Jesus went up into the hills, and there sat down with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Lifting up his eyes then, and seeing that a multitude was coming to him, Jesus said to Philip, "How are we to buy bread, so that these people may eat?" This he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they among so many?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, in number about 5,000. Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over, that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. When the people saw the sign which he had done, they said, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." Perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the hills by himself. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. We have a wonderful manifestation, as we do many times in the Gospels, of the great power of Jesus Christ. He works this amazing miracle, and he feeds, we're told, 5,000 men, but there could have been women and children there as well. There could have been many more people there. But in any case, he works this awesome miracle. He has power over nature. He takes these few pieces of bread and fish and makes it so that it's enough to feed 5,000 people. He multiplies the loaves and the fishes. And this miracle is not only for show. It's not just to show his power, but it really helps people. It doesn't just show off his power, but it changes. It makes their lives better. And in this miracle, there are 2 major results. One is the people are fed. Immediately, their hunger is satisfied by this miracle of Christ. And another effect of this miracle, another result of it, is that people put their faith in him. They believe now, at least, that he's someone sent from heaven, that he's a prophet, that he's mighty in power and majesty before God and before others. But this faith in him is not perfected yet, and they want to make Jesus a king, but not the kind of king he is. They want to make him a political ruler. They want to make him a worldly king who can liberate them from the Romans. But Jesus doesn't want that. He hasn't come to be a political ruler. He hasn't come to take over the day-to-day governments of the world. What he's come to do is to be the king of our hearts. So that to be a Christian means that Christ is our king of our entire lives. In this beautiful prayer known as the Litany of the Sacred Heart, we refer to Jesus as the King and center of all hearts. We don't call him some worldly leader, a president or a politician or whatever. He's the King and center of all hearts. That means Christ is to be the King of our personal lives. When we perceive the miracle and power of Jesus and renew our faith in him, we should remember to let Christ be the King of our lives, the king of our priorities, the king of our plans, the king of our time, the king of our soul. You know, when we take time to pray, it's when we're allowing Christ to be the king of our time, of the time that we have on this earth. One of the gifts that a priest has and religious have is the Liturgy of the Hours or the Divine Office, which we pray at different points throughout the day. And it helps us to realize that Christ is the king of our time throughout this world and throughout the days. We allow Christ to be the king of our soul when we live in his grace. When we go to confession, it's a way to accept once again Jesus Christ as our king. When we go to Mass, we're allowing the Eucharistic Lord to reign within our hearts. And when we listen to the commandments, we're allowing the Lord to be the king of our plans and our priorities, our desires, and our missions in life. So we need to allow Christ to be our king and our Lord. Now, I tell people often that they should go to Mass not only because God commands us to keep holy the Lord's Day, that's a commandment from God, but also because we need to go to Mass. It's good for us to receive Christ in the Eucharist. His real presence really changes our soul and makes us strong spiritually. And also we hear the Word of God in the Sacred Scriptures. The Sacred Scriptures are part of eternal wisdom. You know, as we go throughout the day and throughout the week, we hear so many different sayings about what we should do in life, what our priorities should be, what our values should be. People do this by their word, by their example, in big ways through their books and that they write, or in small ways through little messages they put on Twitter or Facebook. But the gospel is the eternal wisdom. It's like when you hear the gospel, there is light from heaven that comes into our mind, and it's the light of Christ. Now, today's gospel that I read to you has many lessons to it, but there's two I want to point out. One is this: we need to put everything into the hands of the Lord Jesus. Look what they do in the gospel. They take everything they have, which is not much, and they put it in the hands of Jesus. His hands are powerful. In one of the best Eucharistic prayers, the hands of Jesus are referred to as holy and venerable hands. And they put everything into the hands of Christ, and that makes all the difference. If they had not put what they had in the hands of Christ, they would have lost everything. It would have been a very tragic situation. Who knows what could have happened? The situation is challenging. There are many thousands of people there, and there's hardly anything to offer them. But you know something that can be kind of like life. You might experience a situation like this in your life right now. Maybe you are young, and you're coming to the point where you need to make your decision of what you want to focus on in life, or you're older, and you're starting to realize that life can be a bit precarious. You know, when we're young, we often live by our dreams. We dream about what the future's going to be. And when we get older, we start to realize, you know, life can be very challenging. The bottom can fall out on anyone at any time. We start to see examples of situations where everything was going fine and then all of a sudden everything seemed to fall apart. And when we start to have our own responsibilities, we start to realize that, boy, this is not as easy as we thought it was going to be. There's an old saying, heavy hangs the head that wears the crown. When someone's in a position of responsibility, they realize that it really isn't easy. Someone could be a mom or a dad and feel inadequate, feel like the only thing they have to offer to this task, this mission of being a mom and a dad, is a couple fish and 5 barley loaves. It's like they have nothing. They feel inadequate for this task. Newly married man or woman may feel that they don't have what it takes to build a great marriage. Someone may be in a position of leadership, and they might feel overwhelmed by the responsibilities that they have in their workplace or in some other situation. You might be in a situation where you need to be a friend to someone who's in all kinds of trouble, and you feel like you have nothing to offer. You feel like you just have very little bit to offer. Well, the lesson from the gospel is, in all of these challenging situations of life that seem very precarious, we take everything that we have and give it to Jesus. And we do this by following him, by following his word and living in a state of grace, avoiding sin, and trusting in him. There's this beautiful prayer by St. Ignatius of Loyola, and some people have turned it into a song. And listen to these words. This is about giving everything to Christ. Take, Lord, and receive all my liberty, my memory, my understanding, and my entire will. All I have and call my own. You have given all to me. To you, Lord, I return it. Everything is yours. Do with it what you will. Give me only your love and your grace. That is enough for me. That wonderful prayer of St. Ignatius really has to be ours, where we ask the Lord to take everything that we have, even if we feel we have nothing. we give Jesus everything we have. We give him our inadequacies. We give that to Christ. We feel we're nothing but a failure, but we have to be responsible in life. We give that to Christ. Lord, you take this and give me your love and your grace. Maybe we have committed a lot of failures in our life. We have a lot of failures. We bring that to Christ too. We take our failures, as many as they are, say, Jesus, here, you take this. I put this into your hands. I begin again as your disciple. Please help me. You know, in this way, if you give everything to Christ, even your failures, then you don't have to be defeated by your failures. We give everything to Jesus, and we trust in him. And you know something? When you do that, and when you keep doing that, he will get to work. He will. He'll get to work with his grace and his truth to make all things new, to make things better. That doesn't mean that the cross won't be part of your life, but you take that cross you have. You might have a great suffering that has come into your life and you feel, how am I going to deal with this? You take that cross, you put it into the hands of Jesus, and he will get to work. Whatever you give to him and put in his hands, he will work with that. If you don't do this, then you'll have fear. You'll begin to feel that your inadequacy and your failures and your sufferings are the only thing you have, and it becomes impossible to work with that. But if you do that, then Christ will work with that, and he will produce a fruit beyond what we imagine. So that's a key lesson from this gospel. We have to put everything we have in our life right now into the holy and venerable hands of our Lord Jesus. Don't just say that, but do it by following him. The other thing is interesting about this gospel event is that Jesus tells the apostles to gather the fragments left over. Now, if you were there and you witnessed that miracle, and then you had this basket full of, these many baskets full of the fragments left over, those fragments would remind you of that miracle. You'd realize, look, Jesus did this. He changed history in that moment for these people and for us, and we have the evidence right here. Look at these fragments left over. And those fragments would call you to trust in him, to realize that he is all-powerful and he can super abundantly change your life. Well, here we learn that we need to remember the gifts, the graces and blessings the Lord has put into our lives. One of the good things I try to do is I often keep a collection of pictures that to me remind me of the grace of God in my own life. And it's really something that reminds me of the story that God is writing in my life. Now you should do that too, because God is at work in your life, and he's working grace and miracles if you let him. And you should let pictures of various events remind you of his grace. We have to remember the good things the Lord has done in our lives. That's like we have to gather up the fragments. And we also have to not let his grace go to waste. You know, many graces have come into my life. I know that. But I can squander it all. I could squander it all by a life of sin and losing faith in the Lord and not following him. That can happen to anyone. Well, God's worked many blessings in all of our lives, and he will continue to do so if we let him do that. We don't want that to go to waste. We've got to hold on to those fragments, those signs of what God has done in our life. And that will help us to continue to have hope, to continue to realize that Jesus Christ is with us. You know, he may have worked many blessings in your life in the past, brought many graced things, events, and people into your life. And now you're in this new situation where you don't know what to do. You're afraid of the future. But guess what? You get that basket of fragments. You have remembered what the Lord has done in your life. And that means in your future, you know there is Christ. It means right now, you know there is Christ. And that is so awesome to live by. So there are those two lessons. Put everything you have, even if it's nothing but failure and sin, you give that to Christ and you follow him. And number two, you gather everything that he has produced in your life by his grace and his truth, and remember what the Lord has done in your life. And don't waste it. Stay with it. Stay with that story that the Lord Jesus is going to write in your life. This leads us to a third lesson that is not so easy. This is a great challenge. We need to allow Christ to be the King and center of our hearts. What this means is that we need to seek Him not for the gifts that He'll bring to us, but simply because He is the Lord. There's an old saying, we seek not the consolations of God, but we seek the God of the consolations. And that is fulfilled ultimately in our Eucharistic devotion, our devotion and adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. There we are coming to Christ, and we're seeking Him because He is there. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and He is all-powerful, and He loves us.